I'm gonna dip this potato in some crushed Vicodin. And there's nobody who can stop me.
One potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, four, five potatoes, six potatoes, seven potatoes more.
Potatoes.
Welcome to the Potato League podcast with your hosts, Dan Fleming and Tom Crosman.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Welcome to episode 168 of Potato League podcast. A little different format, I guess, tonight. A little different recording time, although we've been off on weird times for a while now. But it is a Saturday night. today was Tilly's birthday party, so Dan came up for that, and this coincided with a Shudder marathon?
Yes, the replaying of the last drive-in 24-hour movie marathon with Joe Bob Briggs on Shudder.
And that was last year sometime?
That was last year, right around the 4th. Yeah, I can't remember the exact date, maybe the 18th or something like that. I can't remember the exact date, but...
So we are, I don't know how far into...
We're about an hour into it.
We're well into tourist trap. I mean, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Bad in a wonderful way, though.
Yeah, it's bad in a way that, like, this is why people like you watch movies like this.
Yes, exactly.
Is because, it's bad.
Yeah.
Like...
There are going to be no Academy... Despite Chuck Connors really going for it in that scene.
Yeah,
I mean, he had his little Oscar-wanting speech right there. Of course, it was like 15 seconds long and then followed by some outlandish shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going for it in this. Whenever he's on screen, he's doing his best.
Oh, he's chewing it up. The scene you were talking about when he's talking about his wife and they've got the fucking... Snoopy piano music playing in the background. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
Trying to hit all the marks. But movies like this are the reason Joe Bob exists, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I know it's dumb to try to make sense of it. I have no idea what this movie wants me to think is going on. You know what I mean?
Accurate.
Like, usually there's like...
Completely 100% accurate.
It's either a ghost story, or it's a slasher, or it's something like that. This seems to be like, whatever sticks.
We're gonna have some haunted house stuff, some slasher stuff, some
telekinesis,
maybe a little bit psycho stuff going on, who knows?
But
we're sponsored by Dr. Pepper and apparently pizza dough.
Clearly.
And Tanya Roberts tank tops. Tube tops. Whatever. Yeah. Haltered. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a fashionista, but it's a halter top, maybe?
Yes.
There's no straps involved.
Right.
And her breasts are being willed up into that outfit.
Yeah, it's just by the will of God Almighty that her... halter top stays up. There it is right there.
Jesus, yeah. That thing is straining.
We noted at the beginning that she looks like Ann Perkins.
Yes.
Rashida Jones as Ann Perkins.
Which got me a like from the Darcy the Mail Girl from At the Drive-In. I'm gunning for Joe Bob.
You pretty much made it.
But Joe Bob hasn't liked anything of mine yet, because I'm kind of live...
Did you take a picture of your shirt?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
I did, yeah. I've been live tweeting this as we go. Just some things here and there.
I'm missing stuff here.
Yeah. Some more exposition.
Yeah, there's pretty much an exposition room in this movie, as we were talking about. It had photo albums, a mannequin of the dead wife.
Yeah. Might as well have just included everything you needed right there.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah, he's not afraid to talk, though, in this movie.
No, and we haven't decided whether or not he's wearing a Wayne Newton mask or just what he's doing.
Yeah. It looks like Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Now that you reel. And, I mean, time-wise, this would have been at the height of Wayne Newton popularity.
Oh, yeah, he was dominating. He was just slaying ass left and right at this point. So other than what is going on here, I have not watched any movies. I've been catching up on television.
Oh.
I finished Chernobyl.
I still have not.
We started... We're five episodes into Stranger Things?
I am six. So, I'm six into it. Which is kind of what gave me the idea to do this episode the way we're doing it, because this plus Stranger Things really got me thinking about summer horror films.
Yep.
Because this marathon starts off with two summer movies, this and Sleepaway Camp. I mean, so I got thinking, you know, I got thinking of a list of the top, my top 20. You know, it's a few more than 20, but like my top 20 summer horror films. And...
Same idea as the what is considered a Christmas movie. When you say summer films, does it have to be have summery activities, or does it just take place where the sun's out?
I just wanted it to be. I wanted, well, not necessarily the sun's out, but I wanted to be. I mean, most of my list, which we'll go through, I figured I could give a couple here and there throughout to. I kind of want to keep pausing and coming back throughout this. Because, I mean, there are no chances that we're going to make it the full evening.
No.
Until morning.
No.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
No.
But I would like to kind of come in and out every so often on this. So it might...
Look at poor Molly. Is she... Now, she's on her own at this point, right?
Yes.
Molly's got no one.
No. But, I mean, she's... Based on her outfit, she's got Jesus.
Yeah,
she's dressed for Sunday school.
Jesus goes with her everywhere. The times that she saw only one set of footprints in the
that's when the killer was following her a different way.
Is when the killer was already ahead of her. Oh, there he is.
And that almost looks like Jason's mother's mask from the first Friday the 13th.
So this is just filled with ripoffs.
Yeah, even though I think this predates... Yeah, this predates Friday the 13th by like a year. But still, Jason's mother wore a hat like that and was an old lady. So.
Well, the first guy that died looked like Gilligan.
Yeah.
And he's got his... Now, here's the thing that I'm unclear about. Is that his head? Like, or is it a mannequin,
it's a mannequin
with his
head.
Hat?
Mannequin with his hat, I think.
So where is that guy now? Where is his body?
I don't know.
Okay, but that's not his head. That's actually a mannequin head with his hat on it.
Yeah.
This movie's weird.
Yeah, he turns around those masks pretty quick. If only, like, you know, companies that could do this shit had this kind of
turnaround.
Yeah,
he can custom make your shit.
I killed you an hour ago, and I've already made
a mannequin
head of you. I am already taunting your lady friends with with a mask of your corpse.
Well, that's another question. I'm not sure they keep saying, And the heads are somehow sentient. I don't understand it.
It's the telekinesis.
But how do they also have a voice?
He can throw his voice, man. He can telecommunicate.
Now, Chuck Connors at the beginning was talking about a wax museum. These are not wax museums.
No, they are not.
These are mannequins.
Yes.
Like, I don't think this guy knows what he's talking about. Oh, there's that water moccasin that he warned you about earlier there, lady. I've just caught up on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I started watching something else, too. What the hell was it? Oh! Robin and I have started rewatching Veronica Mars, because it's on...
Smart, because that comes out soon. I saw an ad for it just the other day.
Hulu? I don't understand why they didn't have this set up earlier. I'm sure they wanted to and just couldn't make it happen, but... The first three seasons... were not available on Hulu until July 1st. The new season 4, starts on July 26th. There are 64 episodes of Veronica Mars.
Oh, I got a retweet. Sorry to interrupt. That isn't a Wayne Newton mask. It's actually Wayne Newton. Google it. I'm Googling
what?
That shit now.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Someone responded.
Wayne?
So that's actually Wayne Newton?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Because like you said, Wayne Newton does not have time for this shit.
No.
In 1979.
Wayne Newton is slaying women left and right with a...
He's slaying women the right way.
Yes.
What was I talking?
Apparently, though, Wayne Newton wants his house turned into a tourist attraction. That's on here.
That tracks. Yeah. So it's kind of a, I said to Robin, is the plan to watch all three seasons before we start the new season?
That's tough because those were like 22 episode seasons.
Yeah, it's 64 episodes,
and those were hour long episodes.
So
A plus is the movie on there?
I don't know if the movie's on there, but I have it.
Yeah. It just made me wonder.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, nothing on Google is saying anything about that being anything involving Wayne Newton. So I'm thinking bullshit on the random retweet response.
You can just say, okay.
Oh, I'm not going to even give him the response.
Whatever,
buddy.
Yeah, so we're like four episodes in now, and it's the 13th. So I don't think we're going to make it in another 13 days. We're not going to watch the other 60 episodes. It's still really good, though.
Oh, it's a great show.
It's an awesome show.
I remember the third season kind of lagged for me.
Well, I was thinking, when we were talking about it, I was thinking maybe we'll just skip that last season, because I don't think... Because wasn't there like a year off?
Yeah.
Or something? Because did it get canceled?
I think it got canceled and the network switched or something like that. That first season was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's a really good contained story. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like a lot of things that keep going after. It's like, well, what do we do from here?
Yeah. Okay, well, now she's in college.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and I know, like, they had an idea for the fourth season. They were going to do a little time jump and put her, like, actually in the FBI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they never got around to that.
And then
it took them like 10 years to do the Kickstarter movie, which at the time was like a record breaker for Kickstarter because it made like $3 million its first day.
It was like the first legit
thing,
right?
Yeah, like first big movie budget thing.
That wasn't just a couple jackasses saying, "Hey, I want to remake Star Wars or something like that.
I'm gonna completely reshoot The Last Jedi."
Yeah. Who am I kidding? We're not going to make it all that stuff by the 26th. Not to say that we have to start watching the new one right on the 26th, mm-hmm. but knowing it's there would be frustrating if we didn't. But in the movie, had she been away for a while and came back? Yeah, she was living somewhere else mm-hmm. and got called back for her reunion or something, maybe?
Yeah, probably like a 10-year reunion.
10-year reunion, and then something happens, and Logan was still sulking, and...
I never liked any of the guys she dated, really.
No, and...
They didn't deserve her.
And yeah, especially early on. Logan was horrible.
Yeah.
Just horrible.
Well, Logan was horrible. The guy that she dated, like, the first year was just a dude.
Yeah.
You know? Nobody deserved her.
No.
Not even Dax Shepard.
Not even Dax Shepard. Now, what's Molly doing now? Is she the last one alive, or the other...
Oh, no, the other ones are still alive, yeah.
What is she shaking? What is she doing?
Oh, it's probably cold.
Oh, she's got the gun. She has the rifleman's rifle.
Yes.
Actually, that's not a rifle. It's a shotgun. I shouldn't say that. That is incorrect.
Oh, yeah, see, now that one's left, the other one shows up! Uh-oh.
Blow him away, Molly.
I love that she has the gun
Pull
and is just still yelling.
Pull the fucking trigger, Molly. There you go. That was a pretty delayed reaction there by the rifleman's brother. This is probably riveting podcast material.
Everyone should watch Tourist Trap, and everyone should have been watching Joe Bob to begin with.
Fair enough. Now, do I guess I would add this to my list of movies that I've watched.
Yeah.
Because I am watching.
And it's a first watch.
And it is a first watch. It'd be the first movie I've watched since Spider-Man.
Well, there. Yeah, I only watched two movies since we recorded last. I watched Club Dread.
What's that?
That's the guys who do Super Troopers.
Oh, yeah.
It's their slasher horror beach community movie. It's ridiculous and stupid, but I love it.
Sure.
And I hadn't watched it in like 15 years or how long since it's been, so I wanted to see if it was still good.
There's the blonde hair. It's gonna be the rifleman.
Yep. And then I watched Touristas, which is
Mr.
essentially...
Mr. Slauson. It's like a Scooby-Doo reveal.
It totally is a Scooby-Doo reveal. Like, right down to the ascot.
Yes. The ascot really tied it all together.
Yeah. I watched Turistas, which is essentially like Jamaican Hostel.
Okay.
Starring Josh Duhamel and Olivia Wilde. You know, where
sounds
Americans...
Like 2010 to me.
It very much is. where it's just American tourists are in Brazil, and they get kidnapped, and their organs are going to get harvested type of thing.
Cool.
So they have to fight back. There's actually a really cool underwater cave scene in that movie. It's like... It reminded me a lot of, like, the video games where, like, in The Witcher and everything, where you've got to dive and swim through water. And
yeah.
You can get turned around really fucking easy, and then you start worrying about your breath, and... They're actually swimming through a cavern like that, being followed by the bad guys, and they have to keep stopping to get their breath, and it's actually pretty damn good. The movie itself was okay, nothing spectacular, but like I said, once I started thinking about summer horror movies the other day, I was like, I've got to watch a couple of those. I know.
Wait a minute.
How did he get behind her and into the water?
Are they twins?
Oh, I can't tell you that, man.
He very much looks like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Oh, I mean, he's wearing a peacoat with the
yes.
with the collar popped.
And he's got the Scooby-Doo villain haircut.
Yeah. And now we got Billy Bob back. So, this is your first exposure pretty much to Joe Bob, right?
Yeah, I knew he existed.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like I said, I knew it was like a TBS or TNT late night stuff, movies like this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically I guess it wouldn't be the same as Mystery Science Theater because they're talking the whole time.
Yeah.
Elvira.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Well, what was the one? It wasn't genre films. It was just, well, is that actually mostly action type stuff? It was like Dinner and a Movie or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Thing it reminds me the most of, it's from when we were a kid in USA, Up All Night.
Yeah, sure.
I can't remember name, the blonde bimbo.
Yeah.
He has a Mr. Rogers photo on his thing.
I know, that's what I thought.
But yeah, where they just play a movie and comment on it in between commercial breaks and whatnot. But
yeah.
The thing about Joe Bob that's really interesting is he's like actually a Pulitzer-nominated journalist. Like, he started working for the Arkansas Democrat when he was like 14. He went to school on a sports writing scholarship. Huh. And he wrote for Rolling Stone and stuff. He's authored like 5 books.
Really?
Yeah, he was actually a very well-respected journalist, and he just kind of did this as a side gig. That's why Joe Bob Briggs is not his real name.
No.
Well,
I would hope not.
Yeah. So a lot of this is... Jeez, his fucking lizard in the back is just going nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just did this for fun, and it just stuck. Like, this is what made him really popular. I mean, he gets mobbed at horror conventions and shit.
Oh, I bet.
He comes across as kind of like an affable redneck during the show, but he's actually a really smart dude.
Oh, I'm
he
sure.
He is proudly a redneck, because, again, from Arkansas and lives in Texas.
But this is still a character.
Maybe not Arkansas. Alabama. One of those southern states. Yeah. Joe Bob is a character. But yeah, like, I mean, you've probably noticed, he's incredibly well-versed.
Well, that's what he's talking about. There's no bullshit there. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Like, he throws factoids at you that are just like, oh, how about that? You know, when he went on the whole Chuck Connors playing baseball in AAA, and that's how he got noticed, was he was a showboat.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff.
So how much is left of this one?
We got about a half an hour left of this.
Should we pause?
We probably should.
I don't want to miss anything.
No, but before we go to our break, like I said, I've been using the...
Oh, you're gonna drop a little of your list?
The Letterboxd app.
Oh, yes, we should mention that. Anyone that is listening, download the Letterboxd app, and it's Letterboxd is with no ED. It's Letterboxd.
I'll post a link to mine specifically on our page. That way people can find it that way. But yeah, it's a good little app. Like I said, I haven't really figured out a whole lot to do with it yet, but I've already got, like... I put from, like, way back episode 100, my top 100 horror films are on here now.
Yep.
I've actually gone through the past 2 years since that list was made to add in new films.
Yep.
So it'll be, like, a top 120.
And you can see my Road to 100 is all on my profile on my under my film diary. It shows all the movies I've watched, where I watched them. and what I gave it for a grade.
Yeah, I've got my 31 Days of Horror for this coming October already lined up on here.
And I can see also when you start, do you follow people? You can see what they've been watching and stuff. Like, I just followed Dan.
And I'll be doing that, especially during like the 31 Days of Horror. I'll be every day talking about which one I watched. But yeah, we've got the summertime horror list up there. And I'll kind of count backwards. The last two I actually have on here are ones that are actually out this summer and I haven't seen yet. But Midsommar.
What?
Which is Ari Aster from Hereditary's new film, which just looks phenomenal and creepy and weird. And then the creature feature,
Has
Crawl.
That been at festivals or anything yet?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I thought I heard someone talk. Oh, it is? Okay. I thought I heard someone talking about it somewhere.
Yeah. And then Crawl, Alexandra Aja's new alligator movie in Louisiana. Right. During a hurricane. So fucking timely.
It is. Because that's the one we watched the trailer for.
Yeah. And then number 21 on the list is one that I got to watch it on YouTube because it's only been available on VHS, but I remember it from when we were kids on HBO. It's called Summer Camp Nightmare. The kids take over the summer camp, and it kind of turns into Lord of the Flies.
I was going to say, it turns into a nightmare.
So I'll do 20 through 15. So number 20, I've got Blood Beach. 19... The Ruins.
You got to give us years on these.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a bunch of people sitting here.
Blood Beach, 1980.
I like to be able to picture whether it's like this, like we're watching now, or like something new.
Okay, then I can do recent or not.
Okay.
Ruins, relatively recent. Bunch of American students going on a hiking trip and finding ancient Mayan ruins, and things go poorly.
So, wait, other than the ones you mentioned, you've seen the rest of these?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Club Dread, which was... Broken Lizard, the guys who do Super Troopers. It's their take on a horror film. Then The Perfect Getaway, which had Steve Zahn and Timothy Oliphant and Mila Jovovich, which is, again, American Vacation people.
Wait, have I seen that?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of The Mummy.
Then we've got Turistas, which I was just talking about. And then at 15, Cannibal Holocaust from 1980. All right. When we come back, I'll do 10 through 14.
I can't pause it. All right. I gotta find the mouse. Found it. We'll be back. All right, we're back. We got to the end of Tourist Trap. I still don't even know what that was about.
Yeah. Especially as it got towards the end, and it just really... I mean, not that this film was beholden to logic through most of it.
No, but commit to one thing.
But at the end, when there's like, I think that was one of the creatures from Troll 2.
yes, like what the fuck?
Why is this a woman? No, it's a mannequin. No, it's a woman. No, it's a mannequin. Who the fuck are these like four people that are there all of a sudden?
Was she hallucinating at some point? Because she was sick at some point or something?
Yeah, but they don't really play that up too much. Yeah.
It was very confusing is a dumb because it's too simple to be confusing.
Yeah, it's not like we're watching a fucking Christopher Nolan film,
right? Trying to parse out each little line of dialogue and camera angle. It's not that way confusing. It's just like, what are you guys? What is this story you're trying to tell? And like we said a bunch of times, it's very clear. The script was not feature length.
Yeah.
And they were stretching. There are parts where there's slow motion for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
There are scenes that go on way too long, just like...
Well, just that dance sequence at the end where we're like, Chuck, can you do about 86 spins?
We get it. We get what's going on here. Carry on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was number one. I haven't really thought out a score yet, but it's going to be in the 2 range.
For me, it's about a solid 2.5, usually.
And then the thing at the end, because there are a lot of things near the end where...
I can actually mark that on my where I was watched.
Where Molly is, who is the final girl, who I assumed all along it was going to be Tanya Roberts, so that was actually a legit surprise for me that she died. But... you kind of thought at some points that Molly was down to be Mrs. Slauson.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she still takes her friend's mannequins and drives off in the Jeep that was supposedly broke down.
Yeah. The Jeep's back.
But, yeah, it just made very little sense. before we started recording, we should mention my brother and his kids came down. They were here for the party. And they, it'll make sense after I explain it, but they gifted Dan and I with Nintendo Entertainment Systems.
Yes.
Refurbished. My brother and his kids have gotten into buying old consoles and fixing them up and cleaning them up and cleaning up any electronics on the inside to make it work. And then... So that this is a little hobby that they've started doing the last couple of months. And, you know, buying a whole bunch of broken ones and fixing, you know, selling, you know, three or four of them and keeping two or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, to kind of keep
it's a good gig.
Yeah, it's a good, it's one of those.
It's a nice family project.
Well, it's the type of hobby that's self-funding.
Yeah.
Once you kind of get going. I mean, all hobbies are money pits. Mm-hmm. Let's not mistake there.
I don't know. My comic book collection.
it's going to pay off in the end, I swear. Yeah,
eventually.
They had cleaned up and fixed up two Nintendo Entertainment Systems. Yep. And then gave one, each of us one.
Rightfully gave you the one with the box included, because I could give a fuck. But
see, that was
an awesome thing for you.
It was a funny, yeah. It was the one in the box was definitely for me. the one that wasn't,
because I would have just taken it out of the box and gone, here's the box.
Yeah. No, I every retro, because I didn't have an NES, but when I get retro, I like to have the box and the styrofoam and everything. Like, my N64 one is awesome, because it's the Mario version. It's he's on the box, and...
So, I mean, like, when you go for a GameCube, are you going to eventually get, like, the Legend of Zelda Gold one?
I would like to. I have... GameCubes are pretty easy to find, or they were... It's a recent enough console where they're not really retro, but they... I mean, they are at this point, I guess, 20 years old. But they're also not anything that's in any kind of demand.
Mm-hmm.
So for a while there, they were super cheap. I've got probably four of them out in the garage. But they're also very finicky. You would think that something like... Because it's just a mini CD.
Yeah.
You would think that those wouldn't have any issues. But some of them just stop reading.
And there's Darcy the Mail Girl.
This is the one...
She's the one who liked my tweet.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about
that. I have
that.
No idea why she's on the show.
yeah, exactly. Now, was she a fixture in all of...
No.
Is it, okay.
No, I don't think she was alive for the other ones.
She's got one of those, she could be 25, she could be 50 looks about her.
Yeah. I mean, she looks very close to one of the mannequins from the movie.
She does, from the movie Tourist Trap.
Yes.
That we just watched. Yeah, so we have the NESs. I have a tube TV out in the garage that another listener, Matt, gave us. I'm not even 100% sure it works. But maybe I'll hook it up, because it never looks quite right on an HD.
No.
I know they have you can get really good emulators that look right.
Yeah.
And play right and everything, but if you're going strictly old school proper, it doesn't get any better than hooking it up to an old tube TV, because that's what they were designed.
Yeah, that's what we remember them as.
Yeah, and that's what they were designed to play on. So I'll see if that works. I'm not 100% sure it does, or even if I can move it, because the fucking thing weighs about 300 pounds because it's an old tube. It's a 32-inch tube TV.
Yeah.
What time is Sleepaway Camp supposed
that
to
starts
start?
Like in a few more minutes, so we've got some time.
How do you want to fill that time?
We can start talking about Stranger Things.
Okay.
Speaking of things we love about the 80s.
Yeah, we can.
Premiered July 4th.
Yep.
I did not watch any of it on July 4th, but I'm 6 episodes into this.
Yep, I'm 5.
Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely loving the pace this season.
Yeah?
It seems like it's flying by.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not, you know, blazing through them the way I normally do, I'm, you know, trying to watch only one or two episodes at a time.
Yeah, that's what we've tried to do. Yeah, we've tried to do that.
A couple of times I've been like, nope, I need to watch the next episode right now.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I've been watching like one at a time. But the episodes have been very brisk.
It was either four or five that, like, the when it went to black, I was like,
yeah, that was 50 minutes?
Is this the opening credits? Did I not even notice the opening credits? Oh, this is the ending credits.
Yeah.
I think it might have been episode five. In any case, Steve and his little band is the best part of the show.
Oh my god, yes. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter there is absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
They've done a great job of introducing new characters each year that really add to it.
Yeah, because that's not easy.
No.
In a show like this. Mm-hmm. Where you do have a very kind of it's all about the
same thing again, where it's kind of why does interrupting
it, do that? It goes back. The last time I just closed out of it and went back in, right? Or did I just move over?
Yeah, you just moved over to Shudder TV again or whatever.
Like
you said, Steve and the crew there. What's his name's little sister? That's now playing now. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That is not what we should be watching.
Why does it go away from that like that? See, now, this is some bullshit.
See, I never used this version of it. Maybe, Arrow, you're down on psychological thrillers. Ah, there you go.
There we go.
There we go.
All right, now we get it.
Mm-hmm. It's bad. Where are we? Yeah, with the additional characters, with...
What I was saying is that the usually in ensemble, mm-hmm. tight-knit group type show, it's difficult to introduce new people and have it be believable in a way other than like, no, they just added a cousin from whatever.
Cousin Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, the characters from last season are still feel like part of the group.
Yeah, and that was, I think, the best part of the brilliant part about last season is when they introduced Max and Billy.
Yeah.
One is destined to join the gang, the other is a foil for the gang.
Right.
And this year, that's really coming into play with Billy, you know, taking on more of a big bad role.
Billy is essentially Ace from
Yes.
Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Ace Merrill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he in multiple ones, or is it just
Ace
that
Merrill?
Story?
No, he is. He shows up in Needful Things.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one other thing, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, Max has taken on a better role this year. I love the pairing with her and Eleven.
Yep.
Where they're, like, forming, you know, a nice... Because Elle has only ever had the boys, really.
Right.
And this year she's, me-tooing it up a little bit.
For this season, so far, Mike is the low point for me.
Yeah.
I'm just irritated by him. Just stop whining.
Yeah, but I loved it when she's like, I dump your ass.
Yeah. But I hope there's a... I haven't even seen him yet, but is the Hopper Pop, I hope he's got those jeans and that shirt.
Oh, yeah.
The Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen someone on the internets redid the Magnum P.I. credits? Opening credit montage with Hopper.
With him?
Yeah. and I hope something more comes into play with Dustin's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that play out a little bit more. From his little science nerd camp.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, I like how they keep bringing... Because, it's the same big bad all along.
Yeah.
Starting with the Demogorgon, then last year with the beginnings of the Mind Flayer, to this year, like, full-on Mind Flayer.
Right.
Some really cool creature effects this season, too.
Yeah, impressive.
You've got, like, some, you know, Village of the Damned-type zombie people. And then you've got, you know... When they melt and form into the Mind Flayer. And the Russians. Of course. This is why, like, this is the most 80s of this show so far. Is the big bads are Russians. And in particular, there's, like, an actual Terminator.
Yes.
That guy is, he's very much homaging the Terminator in that. which is great. And more product placement than ever.
Yeah.
But it fits. Because, I mean, yeah, it takes place in the 80s. This is what they'd be doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the I think in... Back a few years ago, the product placement thing was, like, clearly, you know, Apple's paying you $1 gajillion. That's why you're doing this. And that's great that they showed the steering wheel of the Audi in whatever show you were watching.
Yeah.
But in shows like this, it is, hey, remember this from the 80s? Hey, you remember this from the 80s?
Yeah.
Hey, you remember this? This one isn't as bad as Stranger Things kind of, I don't know if kicked it off would be the right thing, but brought that to the forefront, that kind of nostalgia thing. And then since then, Marvel has beat it to death.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still better at it. It's it's still... It's not... It's beating you in the head, but it, not cynically,
yeah.
I guess.
I wonder how many people, though, have had to have explained to them, like, New Coke is not the Coke we have now.
Right.
Like, this isn't the beginnings of the Coke we drink now.
Right. The fact that it says New Coke is the joke is that it was around for, like, 2 months or something like that before it got... and didn't they have it all destroyed or something that?
Most likely, because people fucking hated it. No, it almost ruined that company.
But there's got to be
somewhere
cases of it somewhere.
Buried in the desert with the ET
with
cartridges.
The ET cartridges, yeah.
Oh, Joe Bob.
What's the countdown to Sleepaway Camp?
It's got to be starting soon. Yeah. All
right, do your other two.
Oh, yeah.
Do, or however many you were going to do.
I'll take us down to 10, because I did one too many last time.
I don't want to be missing the beginning of Sleepaway Camp.
All right, so...
Seeing how I've only seen the end of Sleepaway Camp.
Like I said, number 15 was Cannibal Holocaust. Number 14, Open Water. With a lot of these summer movies, far too many of them have sharks.
Is sharks Open Water the camps. True story?
Yeah, that's the one of the two people that got lost, left behind their, like... dive group.
Yeah.
And just kind of had to survive in the open water, hoping to be rescued.
But they weren't rescued,
no,
right?
No, it was bleak. They both, spoiler, they both die at the end.
But did anyone ever find anything?
I don't know.
Or did they just not find them?
I just think they didn't find them.
Whoops.
Number 13, Tourist Trap.
Whoa,
yeah.
I've seen that.
It's not an overly summer movie, but it makes me think of the shit you see when you're on vacation in the summer.
Well, that's what they were doing. I meant by what are your parameters for defining a summer movie? Like, the people in Tourist Trap were on vacation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, like, going on vacation and going to Santa's Village and Storyland.
I still don't know what the hell they were doing there.
Oh, fuck no. The Jeep didn't work. But until it worked again.
Well, did it just stop working because the guy had, like, magical powers or something, maybe?
Probably.
And then
his telekinesis for a while.
Yeah, it's like, it's about 9 different horror genres rolled into one.
Number 12, this one is a soul... Its sole purpose for existing is because of summer, because of Stranger Things. Summer of 84.
Is it, that's a recent thing then?
It's a very recent movie, 2 years old, I think. And it's about a bunch of young boys who believe the sheriff in their town is murdering people. And it's very heavily in 1984. And lastly, yet another shark film, Blake Lively's The Shallows.
Oh yeah, you said that was pretty good.
I really liked The Shallows. Yeah. I thought it was good. I mean, it's pretty much, she's like the only actor in the film for most of it.
Right.
But her and a seagull.
Isn't there a lot of, she's recording messages on her phone or something like that? Yeah.
but that's my 15 through 11. When we come back next time, I will do 10 through 6 in the countdown, which might include the next movie we're about to watch.
Say, we will probably have seen some of Sleepaway Camp by then.
Yes.
All right. All right, we're back. We're, I don't know, 20...
45 minutes to an hour.
I was going
to
say 20.
It's like 11 o'clock. We've been going on a full hour into this.
Oh
Jesus.
That,
found the first dead body with a snake crawling up. Thank God the lifeguard blew his
Jesus,
whistle.
Like, what happened to him?
What a...
Wasn't he just drowned?
Yeah, but
we're watching...
There's a lot of biters in that lake.
I guess so. We're watching Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah. Your first full time watching this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The bodies are starting to pile up, but the camp is still...
Speaking of bodies.
Still, yeah, yeah.
The camp counselor that looks like a male porn star.
And well, he looks like Sylvester Stallone from Rocky III right now. He's got the yellow shirt, yellow muscle shirt, and the tight black shorts.
This is probably the little kind of mullet.
Wait, when was Rocky III? Right around 83?
Yeah, right around 83.
There we go.
Yeah. This was just the look. And the guy that looks like Moe the Bartender from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah, the human embodiment of Moe the Bartender.
Yeah, this film's problematic.
It very. Very.
I almost wonder if some of these children were actually in danger during the filming.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. I'm guessing the guy who played the pedophile cook probably never worked again, because he looked just a little too comfortable making these,
I'm just a really good actor, guys!
Yeah.
When he's sitting there... Can you do anything else? Nope, this is it. This
where
is my
I
range.
Come from, we call them baldies. Dude, that wasn't in the script! Please do not ad-lib anymore!
We told you we started rolling, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is one
he
of
was just commenting on the other actors on set.
Yeah, because this is one of the problems that you fell into a lot during... Because, I mean, camp movies were very big in the 80s.
Yes.
I mean, not like, you know, one of my other ones that we'll talk about in this. But, like, stuff like even, like, Meatballs.
Yeah.
You know. It was very well parodied in Wet Hot American Summer.
Judy's shirt says Judy on it.
But one of the problems with these camp-type movies... is, like, when you've got counselors and campers, they're often, like, the counselors are, like, 28. Yeah. And the campers are, like, 12. And they're only supposed to be, like, 14 and 16.
Yeah, it's
Judy, you are a bitch.
It's weird when you've got the clearly, like, 28-year-old counselor hitting on the supposedly 13-year-old camper.
Oh, these two are just sassy.
And then, it's hard to tell who's a camper and who is a counselor.
Yeah, or are they just, are the counselors, like, just older campers?
I don't know.
We only know the only ones getting paid are the kitchen crew. Because after the probably impending death.
Right.
Of the pedophile cook by boiling.
Scalding?
Yeah. He offered to pay the shuck and jive guy $50. That guy was one step away from yes a massa, no a massa.
I know. It was uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah. And then the all like Hispanic kitchen crew that didn't have any lines.
No.
But they
or
all,
names.
They're all getting an extra $15 a week.
Yeah.
You know, to keep all the to keep the near death of the lead cook quiet.
Well, we're up to, he's now got a body on his hands.
Yeah.
Camp is still open.
Yeah.
Kids are still freely moving about at night, obviously.
Does there seem to be any real camp-based activities?
No.
I mean, there was the softball game that got really fucking heated.
But even that seemed to be kind of a spontaneous thing.
Yeah. And then you've got the dance where a brawl breaks out, but yet, you know, bartender Mo just sits and watches the whole thing.
And then the guys, because they're all horny, are trying to talk the girls into going skinny dipping. The girls don't want any part of it, so to show them...
that they know how to... I'll show you how to have a good time.
Boys go anyway?
Yeah.
Like, all of them?
Yep. Whole lot of white ass in that scene. Whole lot. A lot of farmer tans there from the shorts.
Yeah, but it was a lot.
There's
some action with Angela and Paul.
Yeah. Paul, Ricky's best friend.
Ricky's best friend, and also.
Yeah. Way to go, best friend, trying to bang his cousin.
Just a blue chip softball. Prospect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Paul. Hitting a triple in softball is no easy feat.
To left, no less.
Yeah. He scorched it.
Yeah, he's...
And now Judy is quite up on his business, because...
Yeah, she's all in his jock, because she's seen him hit triples in softball. and play somewhere around second base.
Yeah.
Seemed like everyone just kind of was there.
Well, it's like, you know, third grade kickball.
Yeah.
Everyone just kind of huddles in the middle of the field. Oh, the shaving cream trick on the nerd
who
has a porn mag.
They've always got to just be messing with people, don't they?
I love that, like, all the posters on his wall are, like, obvious, like, gaming posters.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got a porn mag all on him right there.
Fuck yeah, he does. He knows
what's... He's going to beat some ass.
He knows what's up.
He pulls out a fucking knife! Jesus
Christ, this movie is fucking... here comes the adult into the room to fucking straighten things out.
Hey... Let's not cut a bitch.
Yeah.
Let's put the knife away.
Hey, we don't cut people at sleepaway camp.
No.
We drown them or scald them with boiling water.
This isn't The Burning. You need to go to that different camp movie if you're going to cut someone. I love that he just puts it back.
I think he's going to steal it. I think the grown-up counselor.
Yeah.
Paul's got donuts.
Yeah, but now he's going to get pig-piled.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Because that's what you do.
I guess so. This is a great movie. what else? Do we have other subjects, or are we...
I have, like, a couple news and notes for the week that were kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Let me go to the Facebook page here where I usually put these things.
See, all of a sudden, while you're looking for that, all of a sudden, Angela has gone from being mute to being, like, just a fun-loving gal with a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Judy prancing
She
around.
Just needed someone to, you know, help bring her out of her shell.
I guess so. And that someone was Paul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a couple things. I mean, they keep adding more to the cast to The Stand. The new version of The Stand that they're going to do. And they have announced that the original miniseries, is finally getting a Blu-ray release this September, just in time for September King.
Yep.
No word on any additional features yet that are going to be on that, but I hope they do some stuff. I mean, I still have, like, my original Artisan DVD that came out.
What was that, like, 1990?
Something like that, yeah. Oh!
Was it around the time of the extended?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the big news. It kind of got announced pretty much right after we recorded last week. But Sandman, coming to TV, coming to Netflix. Mm. Neil Gaiman's Sandman, fresh off the heels of Good Omens being successful, American Gods doing all right. the porn star. But yeah, they haven't announced anything much about it yet. That just said it's going to be on Netflix and Neil's going to be an executive producer. The first season is roughly going to be the first Preludes and Nocturnes story.
Yeah.
The first story, plus maybe a few extra things. But it looks like it's going to be well supported by Netflix. Mostly because Netflix announced also this week that they're going to be cutting back on some of their films.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Well, apparently, like, stuff like Triple Threat fucked them. So a lot of those, like, bigger budget films...
Oh, the Triple Frontier?
Triple Frontier, yeah.
The Ben Affleck thing?
Yeah, apparently that kind of hurt him.
Well, the way Netflix makes their money is sort of... It's kind of nebulous anyway when you're talking about originals.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... You know, when you put a movie in a theater, it's easy to, to just count the dollars, but... Yeah. With something like that, it's all... You're still just guessing.
Yeah. And it's not like that brought in new subscribers.
Right.
And apparently, that film cost like $100 million. It cost him $100 million.
It looked like an expensive... I think we said this after we watched it. Like, this looked like it was expensive.
But that's the type of movie that most studios would make for about $45, $50
million.
Yeah. They just wouldn't fucking use Affleck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Hunnam and Oscar Isaac and the other main characters, they're not going to demand a lot of money.
Like, how much do you think, like, the Sicario movies?
I can find out exactly how much.
I mean, those should have a comparable budget, right?
Yeah, if not, probably, probably about the same amount, I would think.
There was a lot of remote location work on Triple Frontier.
Which probably isn't 100% necessary. I mean, you've got, like, the second unit stuff of You know, we got to fly helicopter over Bogota. Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man, now these fucking, these guys who are definitely not gay are throwing water balloons from the roof at Angela. Again, I can't stress enough, these are adults.
Yes.
These people are 25 to 30.
Sicario's budget was $30 million.
Jesus. Yeah, so...
And I'll even one up and say, what was Sicario 2's budget? 35.
Yeah.
So both, you could have made a third, you could have made a third Sicario film along with the first two for the budget of Triple Frontier.
That's
bad business right
there. Yeah, those numbers don't line up to me.
And it, I mean, I remember, like, they're talking about, like, the,
because you don't get a $100 million budget without effects and major location work, major location changes. They had a lot of location stuff, but it was all in the same place. It wasn't fucking...
It was all jungle.
It wasn't Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, what is it? Scorsese's new film, The Irishman, is rumored to be around another $100 million film.
See, something like that would makes less sense to me than even a Triple Frontier type thing. Because at least Triple Frontier is going to...
And see, I can picture, like, a Hollywood studio maybe greenlighting a $100 million Scorsese film, because it's like,
yeah.
fucking Scorsese.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever.
But, like, it
even if we lose money, we're going to lose money on a Scorsese film.
But it doesn't feel like it makes as much sense in this model.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why, I guess. Maybe it's, I don't know. So, when they said scale back, does it just mean fewer of the big, big budget stuff? Because, really, frankly, that's been kind of the weakest stuff.
Oh, yeah. That one was Bright.
Yeah.
That one didn't... I got like 20 minutes of it. I just didn't... I wasn't into it. And that was a big budget one.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff, their mid to low budget stuff does fine.
Yeah, and it's because you... Because you're not getting that elsewhere.
Yeah.
You're not getting some... You're not getting something the level of 1922 anywhere else.
Yeah.
Whereas you can get Triple Frontier on...
It's funny, because episode 100, we talked about 1922 for 45 minutes.
We did?
We did, yes.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Good, very good story.
Yeah. But again, that's the those are the type of budgets Netflix should be working with.
Yeah, because those types of things don't exist outside of places like Netflix. A low-budget... genre film, but done well.
Yeah.
There's not...
And again, I don't know why every studio doesn't do more horror films.
Yeah.
Horror films, I mean, Blumhouse has made their living making $5 million budget horror films that make 50 to 90 million. And sometimes more.
Yeah, and you know, you make $5 million movies and hope one of them hits 100.
Yeah.
And one of them probably will.
Oh, yeah. With Blumhouse, almost. Yeah, I mean, you get The Conjurings, you get...
And that's like, that is a whole...
That's
I think we talked about that before.
They call it the Wanaverse, because James Wan was the one who started that. And kind of is the executive producer on all of them, because, like, Annabelle Comes Home just came out.
I'm unclear about what is killing this guy. What's wrong with him?
Bees.
What?
Bees. You know, motherfucker's allergic, apparently.
Oh, I guess.
Jesus
Christ.
Looks like someone just glued raspberries to his arm.
That's actually exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, which guy was that?
One of the older asshole guys.
One of the 30-year-olds.
Yeah. What were we just talking about?
Damn. I don't know. The bees kind of...
Bees ruined it.
Did it really did.
But, yeah, like... The Wanaverse there, yeah. Annabelle Comes Home just came out, and it takes place in the Warrens' home, where it has all the haunted shit, and they're like, okay, we can use, like, five of these for spinoffs.
Oh, like
the horror podcast
yeah.
I was listening to was like, okay, out of what thing you saw in there, what do you think they're going to make a spinoff? And there's, like, a fairy thing, and a monkey thing, and a ghost thing. And
so do they just go, like, to... a different time in that object's history?
That's what they did with Annabelle, yeah. They the first one was a modern one, and then it went back to, like, Annabelle Creation went back to Annabelle's Creation.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, they can just keep making...
Who
owned... and then the Nun got a spinoff out of The Conjuring, and then... Yeah.
Who does all the paranormals? Is that...
Oh, the Paranormal Activities?
Yeah.
Different. Completely different. I think it's still Blumhouse, but they're not connected.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Yeah. I knew they weren't connected. I just didn't know if that was a Blumhouse...
Yeah, that's Blumhouse, too.
...franchise also. Yeah, and those that's another pretty big one.
Those are cheap-ass ones that make $100 million.
And there's, like, six of them in there?
Yeah.
By now?
Yeah, actually, I think exactly six.
Ah, see? I keep track.
So why... Yeah. And Netflix does some lower-budget horror. I mean... Bird Box wasn't made on a big budget, other than Sandra Bullock, and that did very well for them.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I hate to sound bad, horrible, but it's the Asian film that just came out on Netflix.
Oh yeah, yeah, one I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the title, but that's apparently gotten a lot of buzz.
Yeah,
that movie couldn't have, other than like Keanu being in it. Which I'm sure he did for scale, because he's like a decent human being or whatnot. That seems like it's doing really well. Leave the big-ass budget films to the big studios that they're going to put out every summer, and just Netflix and Hulu and Amazon should be making lower-budget films.
You're not gonna get a return on that kind of investment.
No.
And the... People will watch it, but what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
You know, like, what does it mean to you that the people that all were already subscribed watch Triple Frontier on top of the shit they were watching already?
Yeah.
That's why it's hard. It's a tough business model to even... It's tough to figure out what you're even... Well, I guess they obviously know, but... did Triple Frontier keep anyone an extra month longer than they would have, you know, with...
I can't imagine.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, I was going to drop it this month, but I haven't seen that movie yet, so I better hold on one more month.
Hey, I've done that with HBO. Yeah. I have done I'm going to cancel it as soon as I'm done with, Game of Thrones or whatever. Oh, well, I'll wait until I've watched Chernobyl.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to keep it anyway, but...
Yeah, because now it's like, well, Watchmen's going to be out in another month.
Exactly.
So
did anyone, you know, I would guess that it was more of a... keeping customers thing than a trying to get customers in.
And they, I think, they do tell it, they do like TV shows, I think, better.
Yeah.
So stick with that.
Yeah.
Do your occasional flick, whatever, but, you know, your money lies in the TV, in the episodes, the series. Stick with that.
Yeah. And they've done a good job with stand-up comedy. They've made more of an effort to put, you know, there's a new special out pretty much every week.
Yeah, Aziz Ansari has one. This one.
Yeah.
Directed by Spike Jones.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It almost gets to the point where it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
With the comedy thing, I can't even keep up with it.
All right. Well, we're getting back.
I know.
We don't have much left, so I'm gonna.
I've missed.
Read off my next five here, and then we'll dive right back out.
I'm still not 100% sure who even died in the bathroom.
All right. Number 10. Maine-based Lake Placid.
That's in Maine?
That's in Maine. Number 9.
Shouldn't Lake Placid be in New York?
One would think. Number 9, Sleepaway Camp.
I want to get back to that movie in a minute.
Number 8, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I've seen that.
Number 7, The Hills Have Eyes. And number 6, I used the David Aja remake of Piranha.
Oh, yeah.
Because that actually takes place, like, on Lake Tahoe. I think actually technically during spring break, but fuck it. I'm cheating a little.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that's my 10 through 6. When we come back, we'll do the 5 through 1.
All right. Pausing for Sleepaway Camp. All right, we're back. Sleepaway Camp's over.
Yeah. There's a penis.
Yeah, I mean, I knew how it ended already, obviously. We talked about it before, but...
It's still interesting to see it in the context of the whole film that they've built.
Yeah, it's... Well, because there's more going on. Like we said, it's very problematic.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. So there's more going on than just your slasher-type stuff. And a lot of it's 80s trope-type stuff that was... You know, you look back on stuff years later, and, yeah, that was a little racist or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, because, you know, the social norms change, but... I don't know that this much lusting after children is I don't know if that was ever really...
I don't think
really,
that's of the time.
Yeah, that's never really in style.
No, in the 80s, it was okay to lust after 12-year-olds. That was not a thing.
No, to be fair, a lot of it in this is because, like we mentioned before, the actors that they have playing... We don't know how old the counselors are supposed to be. The people playing them are all, like we said, in their mid to late 20s. And the people that are playing the camp kids are very clearly children.
Yes.
So it is...
Especially the ones that are really, really clearly children.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ones they left for dead.
And that were hacked to bits.
Oh, yes.
Some of those don't make sense. There's no... I don't know if it makes more or less sense than the first movie. Because, again, what's the... Other than just she's crazy or he's crazy, what's the motive? Because at first it seemed like the ones getting killed were kind of deserved it.
Yeah.
Or ones that had wronged her. But she killed, like, those little kids.
Yeah.
And there was one other person.
And how did she get to those kids? They were camping off-site.
Yeah, the geography doesn't make sense here.
Yeah. Yeah, but, if it had been, like, just Judy and, you know,
right,
Meg.
Right.
And, yeah, the ones that were awful to her. I get it, but... But, right, like, like, what happened to the camp director after he beat the shit out of Ricky?
Yeah.
Just kind of took off. Doesn't resolve that at all, the rest of the movie.
I mean, look, I know that we're not dealing with,
these are not Oscar-winning films.
But, right, you know.
But still. They're just pretty simple story stuff.
It's almost a lot of stuff in movies like this. It's funny because I couldn't do it. Like I couldn't make that movie. Not that I, you know, had the skill to do it anyway. But even if I did, my movie would never get made.
Yeah,
because like I couldn't leave anything close to that alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Your story...
And it's not like that's Avengers Endgame where it was like, no, you need to hit the release date.
Right.
You need to.
Right.
It was, that's a small budget film. It came out whenever, you know.
Although, Sleepaway Camp, I think when we talked about it last time, it actually, like, released wide.
Oh, yeah.
And was like a movie in the theaters.
Oh, heck yeah.
And...
I mean, a lot of the movies... Horror movies were at this time.
Yeah, true.
They were big business in the 80s.
But now it's just the Blumhouse type stuff.
Like the bigger studio fare, like It.
Oh, yeah. But you, like, what would be the comparison of this, the slasher type stuff today?
Stuff like Hatchet.
Does that genre still exist?
It does. It definitely does. But yeah, it does not get wide release.
Yeah, right.
That's the stuff, like, you'll hear me talk about, and you'll be like, I have never heard of that.
Well, like, there are so many. Like, well, because we talked about the budget. I mean, it doesn't cost shit to make a horror movie. And people would be more likely to make a horror movie just for the sake of making a horror movie, as opposed to, you know what? Someday I'm going to get that romantic comedy I wrote down, you know?
Well, that's the thing, too, because horror movies you can make on the small budget because you don't need a big star.
Yeah.
Romantic comedies, you kind of do.
Yeah,
unless you luck out,
yeah,
you don't get noticed.
Right, you're dead in the water.
I mean, and honestly, how many romantic comedies do you think are like passion projects of people?
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, most of them are,
Gary Marshall.
We can get Jennifer Aniston for a picture.
Yeah.
You know, let's write something quick.
Yep.
Hey, you know, those two would be cute in a movie together, go write it.
Yeah. We need the Chardonnay moms to get their asses in the seats. They need something where they drop the kids off to Toy Story.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to find that the type of person that would be really passionate about it and just want to get the movie made.
Yeah.
So maybe that helps out that. And probably there's also, obviously, there aren't, well, I say this, there probably are rom-com conventions. Like you,
sir. There was actually.
I'm sure there is.
The show Happy Endings, they actually went to a rom-com con.
That's awesome.
Yes. But yeah, there's gotta be something like that. But I mean,
but not to the level of horror conventions and stuff. So yeah.
I can't imagine Katherine Heigl hits a circuit. You
know? Yeah. Although that would be more sad than the types of stuff that we go to. And you think, there's the guy that was the creepy weirdo in this horror movie or whatever, and he's probably making a fine living, but just going from place to place, reliving that 8 weeks of his life.
Yep.
And signing pictures for people. You can see Katherine Heigl and who else would be there? Sarah Jessica Parker, probably.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, definitely.
J-Lo's probably still a little too big, but, you know.
Yeah, because she's got the music stuff. Oh, yeah,
Kate Hudson would be all over that shit.
See, it's...
And then, Meg Ryan would be, like, the old-timer on the circuit.
Well, she's the old pro.
Yeah.
Well, for a while there, Julia Roberts was cranking them out.
Yeah.
Like, one a year.
And she had to go and win that Oscar and get all uppity. She wants to do serious stuff with Soderbergh now.
I know. It's bullshit. What else we got? Anything?
Not really, no.
It's 12:10. It's a short episode, but...
It is.
It was interspersed with...
I mean, yeah, we're still recording and it's midnight.
Yeah, it's 12:10. And this has been a lengthy day.
Yeah. All right, for the last five I've got on here of my best summer flicks...
You should recap
okay.
the other ones. Although, for the people listening, it's only been like 10 minutes, but for me, it's been a couple hours, so...
For the two that I haven't seen yet, that will undoubtedly go higher on the list.
Right.
Midsummer and Crawl. At 21, only because I haven't seen it in forever and I can't remember it, Summer Camp Nightmare. 20, Blood Beach. 19, The Ruins. 18, Club Dread. 17, A Perfect Getaway. 16, Touristas. 15, Cannibal Holocaust. 14, Open Water. 13, Tourist Trap. 12, Summer of 84. 11, The Shallows. 10, Lake Placid. 9, Sleepaway Camp. 8, I Know What You Did Last Summer. 7, The Hills Have Eyes. 6, Piranha. Which leads us to number 5.
Top 5.
This is the second best campers movie. Nobody sees this shit, but this one is really good. The Burning. Starring a young Jason Alexander and Holly Hunter.
I was going to say, is it recent? So apparently that's
1980. the effects were done by effects maestro Tom Savini.
Actually, that's a name I recognize.
Went to go do this instead of doing a highly anticipated sequel to my number 4 movie, Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
The ultimate summer camp movie. So much that all of them take place at... Oh my god, Darcy the male girl is dressed like Judy.
She's even got the tank top.
Number 3, the newest one on the list. Us.
Oh yeah, because they're...
That's a summer movie. They're on vacation. They're at the beach. Number 2, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And number 1, which everyone should expect... Jaws.
Yes.
The ultimate summer horror film. Takes place on the 4th of July. It's at the beach.
Much like Sleepaway Camp, everyone just kind of... Well, the mayor especially.
Just
kind of washes over the fact that there's all these deaths.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a dick.
Is it you that was mentioning and that guy got reelected?
Yes.
He was back for the other one.
Yeah. local elections matter, kids.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so anyway. Sleepaway Camp, better or worse than Tourist Trap? It's hard.
I think it's more enjoyable, but I think it's less interesting of a film.
I think I liked it more,
mm-hmm.
even though, what I was going to do is I can't give either one of them a 2.5, so one of them has to get a 1.5.
Oh.
So that's going to have to be Tourist Trap.
Oh. So I actually gave Sleepaway Camp a 3.
Yeah, I can't
do that. Because it's just more fun with all the kids saying fuck you to one another.
Yeah, that's another thing that's funny about this movie is that people overreact.
Yeah, these kids are fucking harsh.
Yeah, like just normal teenage ribbing.
You can't hit very well. Well, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Like just normal everyday teenage ribbing, and they're just like, yeah, well, fuck you. I'll fucking strangle you. Like, whoa.
What they didn't tell you is this is like anger management camp.
All these kids beat the shit out of their teachers and stuff.
Every one of these kids had to be remanded by the courts to attend this camp.
It was like, because like five times in that movie, there's, you know, someone's busting their balls or whatever, but they come back with, fuck you! Yeah. Whoa. And they're not even the murderous person. That's the other thing. There's no... Well, we already said there was no rhyme or reason to it. There's also no real resolution.
No. She just sits there screaming. Well, from what I heard, Angela's back in the other two.
Well, good. So I'm really surprised that you haven't seen them.
I am too.
no one's more surprised than me, man.
I'm going to actually... The Scream Factory's having a sale right now, and those are both on sale for like $15, so I'll probably end up ordering those. Because they did nice collector's editions of them.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I know we were going to stop, and this might be opening a new can of worms, but, like, those two movies that we just watched, the fact that they are even... Because we talk about subgenres in horror all the time. That is not the same thing as us. And I know that there are different... There are varying degrees of whatever in every genre there is. But horror, like... Those two movies wouldn't scare anyone.
Oh, God, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but they're considered horror.
Yeah, because there's killers on the
list. Yeah, but, like, it's... And it's not meant to scare anyone. That movie was not meant to scare anyone.
God.
Was it?
Maybe 12-year-olds.
I don't know.
Mostly because they think every camp counselor's going to try to fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the scariest thing about it. All right,
Timmy, it's time to go to camp.
No. Yeah. Navigating adults in this world is scarier than the murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what's... but then something like The Conjuring was definitely made to scare someone. Yeah. You're trying to scare people with that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just different times, but... I don't know. There are legit scary movies from the 70s, 80s. Like, The Exorcist is legit scary. Mm-hmm. But that stuff is just, it's not, and it's just, it's always fascinating to me that it's the same genre, which is, you know, people think of it as a very separate, very specific one, but then once you get in there...
Oh, it's horror is probably the most diverse of all the genres.
Yeah.
By far.
I mean, there's a lot of mixing and matching and stuff like that with stuff. But yeah, stuff that you would classify as horror first.
Yeah.
When you're talking about everything from Sleepaway Camp to Hereditary. You know, that's a huge gap. Yeah. That's a big difference between those things. And then throwing in things like Scream and stuff like that into the mix.
And then throwing in stuff like Shaun of the Dead. It's
sci-fi, horror.
War horror, drama horror.
War.
Love horror. It's all out there, man. It's all out there.
All right, well, this... I got two. I added two more. That's my...
You have...
I try to watch two movies a week.
You have tripled your amount for this month so far.
I have. Every month, and I don't worry about it, because every month
And technically, you got them in before the end of the week.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. Every month, there's a streak at some point where I watch, like, six in a week, and then it's... Because you only need to watch 9 a month to hit 100, so...
Yeah.
I'm way ahead. You wait, I'll get to, like, December and have 30 movies to watch or something. That won't happen.
Yeah.
All right, well, back on regular Sundays, probably starting next Sunday.
Yeah.
About right?
Stupid work.
I know. All right, bye.
Yeah.